Hey, what's up? My name is Nick Russo. Welcome to Season 3, Episode 8 of Country Not Country. Today, we're going to talk about several things. I wrote down a list right before I hit record and started rolling. I wrote down all the things I wanted to talk about, and I just started spitballing things. It's probably because of the caffeine I had earlier, just being completely honest. If I'm talking a little fast, I'm going to try to slow it down just a bit. Earlier today, we had an artist stop by. His name is Kelsey Hart, incredible artist with Curb Records, and we had a great performance interview that I'm going to share with you at the end of this episode today. So we're going to talk about Chris Young, his arrest that has taken the internet by storm. It's very strange. Also, the Cody Johnson tour. And then I'm going to talk about the dance community at Rowdy's in Spring and my experience of being a DJ at the club. And we might touch on a few other things through the course of that as well. But I wanted to start with Chris Young and his arrest because this came across through a text message from me. Hey, bad news, Chris Young got arrested. This story is going to come to life tomorrow. A friend of mine who lives in Nashville kind of gave me a heads up on it, and I was waiting for it to break, and then came the mugshot, and it was assault of a officer, which was kind of strange to me because, you know, in the very few interactions I've ever had with Chris Young, he was never very aggressive. He's always super kind, kind of soft-spoken, very nice person. Aggression's the last characteristic that I would apply to Chris Young. And so to hear him arrested for assault on an officer sounded very strange. And then the next day or two, the surveillance video came out, and you can see that it looks or appears that Chris Young is grabbing the shoulder of an officer as he walks by, and then he gets shoved to the ground. A new video came out today that showed it where he never actually even touched the officer whatsoever. In fact, he just kind of waved his arm out and then got shoved to the ground. And it was a really kind of a scary altercation that didn't seem like Chris Young warranted getting pushed to the ground at all. And I didn't see him assault anybody at all. All that to say that yesterday or 2 days ago, the assault charges on Chris or against Chris Young were dropped. So, I mean, it's good news for him, but I have a feeling there's more on the way. Chris Young was on TikTok, and he was kind of clapping back at the people who were being dicks to him because, you know, when the video first went up, he got a lot of the, well, you don't put your hands on an officer, you get what you deserve, and kind of a jerk, kind of crappy reaction, you know. And I understand where those people are coming from, but also online, people are just so short to think, like they don't, or to comment before they think. And people are just such jerks online. There's some people that literally get excited about being a jerk online. Like that is how they get a thrill out of that. And unfortunately, there were a lot of those people in Chris Young's comment section slamming him until the video came out. So when the video came out today that shows that he didn't even touch the officer, you know, Chris Young did post what he got to say now or something to that effect. And then he also showed a picture of his back where he has this giant bruise just to the right of his spine and another one on his arm. And I guess that's where he hit the bar. He got pushed back into the bar. Just terrible that he had to go through all that. I feel for him, and thankfully the charges were dropped. A little bit of sort of brevity in the, I don't know if that's the right word, a little bit of brevity in the story. There's a person standing right there by Chris Young. His name is Brian Martin. Now, Brian Martin has a song called We Ride, and we play that song on the Bull right now, and currently he's on tour with Chris Young doing a couple dates, so that's why they were all together in that bar. I believe they may have been practicing or recording or hanging out or songwriting, and they went to the bar, and it's kind of wild. He doesn't get involved at all. He's just kind of got the what in the world's going on look in his face, but there actually are two country stars in that surveillance video. So best wishes to Chris Young. Hopefully he's able to navigate this crazy situation. Sounds like there's probably going to be some sort of disciplinary action against these officers because I can't imagine that that anyone could get away with that after, you know, doing that to a celebrity, particularly that's caught on camera with this much attention. But then again, we've seen crazier situations. But that's usually where I exit the conversation because I have no control over what people or how people do their jobs. And someone who is very, very good at their job, Cody Johnson. So he just kicked off his tour. He's been on the West Coast in California, and we did a really big launch day a few weeks ago, I guess, whenever he released his album Leather. It might have been like 8 to 10 weeks ago. He released the album Leather. And on that day on the Bull, we played lots and lots and lots of his music. And we gave away a trip to San Diego to see one of the first stops on that tour. And he had Dylan Carmichael on the tour as well. So it was like just this really, really great day of country music if you got to go to this show in San Diego. And it turns out two of our listeners, Bruce and Linda, won this text to win contest. And so a little bit about Bruce and Linda. Bruce definitely will probably never listen to this podcast, but he's such a kind person. I only know him because I've seen him dance at Rowdy's in Spring with his wife or girlfriend, fiance, Linda, who is, so I believe Bruce is 72 or 73, and Linda is 67, 68, somewhere in there. They're senior citizens and incredible dancers and so much energy, and they hadn't been out of town or been to a concert in quite some time that I'm aware of. And so when they told me they won the contest, I was so excited for them. And from what I hear, they went to the show, had an incredible time, and their main question was there anywhere we can go dance to country music? And so some people I know in San Diego led them to a honky tonk. So I'll have a follow up on that story coming soon. And you know, that is my moonlight job, by the way. I DJ at Rowdy's in Spring. I've been there for a little over two years now. And one of the questions I get asked a lot is, you know, how did I get into DJing like that? And the truth is, that was what I really always wanted to do. I always wanted to be the DJ in the room while people were dancing. Like, that always appealed to me. And I remember when I was a kid, I was like 15 or 16, I used my parents' surround sound from the living room and my own six disc changer to DJ a high school dance for my own high school. And when I think back to what I really wanted to do, like, I know this is going to sound crazy and shallow probably, but whatever. Honesty is the best policy, and I promise to always be authentic. And like, I wanted to slow dance with the girl that I liked. And the best way to do that was to be the DJ so I could dance to the songs I wanted to dance to. Well, little did I know. Well, I learned actually very early on that it doesn't quite work that way because as the DJ, you got to be playing the music. And if your equipment fails you while you're dancing, you're going to look like a complete jackass. And honestly, I get it. I think it's fine. DJs like to dance and go dance and stuff. But if you're the DJ, you shouldn't be on the dance floor. Like, at least not a lot. No offense to DJs that like to be, do your own thing. You do you. But, like, the dancing is for the people that you're paid to entertain as the DJ, at least for the most part. And that's because I will go dance every now and then. I will go dance. But I just do it limited for the most part. If it's a slow night, it's a little bit different. But one of my first experiences as a DJ when I was 15, the song was Iris by the Goo Goo Dolls. And I went to go slow dance to it, and it goes, and I don't want the word, the CD started skipping in the middle of the song. And I remember the sound of the crowd. Everyone was slow dancing. Everyone was in the vibe. And it was like, oh, like, it was like the worst feeling ever. And so I ran over, tried to fix it, couldn't fix it, had to pick another song. And it was just such a buzzkill. So that always made me a little nervous about going to dance while DJing. So that was when I was 15, right? So I think I did it once more after that, maybe. But I never really had the chance again until just about 5 or 6 years ago, because I got into radio and they would just give me the microphone, right? And then I would be in the club, and then I would just hype up the crowd while being live on the radio doing breaks from the club. And so I never got to DJ. There was always literally a DJ. And then something you may not know about the radio, the DJs you hear on the radio, not all of them are the music directors, so they don't schedule their own music. So in most cases, you'll hear a DJ and somebody else scheduled that music for them. They just talk between the songs. So that's sort of behind the curtain a little bit, but I only share that with you because as a DJ where you're actually picking the songs in the moment playing, you know, that's super rare. Well, you know, as music director for the Bull here in Houston, I get to do that from a computer ahead of time. I'm not DJing on the fly like I would in a club. So anyway, I just share all that as some background to the different styles and techniques of being a DJ. So being in the club as the DJ, playing the music in the bar and talking on the mic has been an entirely different experience. But also, again, that was the experience that I kind of always really wanted. Radio is amazing, don't get me wrong, but DJing in the club is an entirely different adrenaline rush, and it's an entirely different skill set, I think, because, you know, you're reading a room, you're playing to people in the room, and it's there's just more to it. You can actually see reactions. We're on the radio. You can't see someone's reaction. It's just trust that they're going to like the song. That's why you also have to be more meticulous with what you play on the radio versus in a club. You got a little more wiggle room. But the way I got into DJing in the clubs, a big shout out to Easton. Easton Santos, I believe that's his last name. I'm not going to look it up on Facebook right now. I'm pretty sure that's him. But Easton was the DJ at Wild West, and this was in 2019. And I went in one time just to have a couple drinks and kind of dance a little bit and be social, and he would give me shout outs. Well, the manager, Tisha, came over one day and she's like, you know, Nick, every time he says your name, like two or three people look over and try to see where you're at. And I would love to have you work here. Would you be willing to be an MC for us? So I was kind of skeptical, but then I was like, you know what? They're probably going to give me free alcohol or at least a bar tab, and they're going to pay me to come talk on a microphone. Yeah, let's do it. Sounds like a good time. So I signed up to do it. And then within like three or four months, Easton was getting another job. And he asked me if I would be interested in DJing as well as being the MC. And I was a little nervous at first. I didn't have the equipment, didn't have, you know, the music. And he said, well, all you need is headphones here, because at Wild West at that time, they had all the equipment built in to their DJ booth. So all I had to do was plug my headphones in and start DJing. And so I started doing that, and obviously COVID came around March 2020, Wild West closed down or closed the doors. Ultimately, the rent was too expensive to continue without making money, and the bar wasn't ever able to really recover from that, and that was the end of Wild West. Well, towards the end of 2020, I believe, it was in August that Rowdy's began trying to open up. And so my buddy Adam got a job at Rowdy's Webster, and he asked me if I want to work in spring, and so I came on. I believe I started on Saturday nights, or maybe I forget what night I started on, but I started at Rowdy's in spring one night a week, and then ultimately moved up to two nights a week. And then just a few weeks ago, I moved to three nights a week. And that's kind of been sort of my graduation as a DJ, how I got to where I'm at now, why I DJ at Rowdy's in spring on Saturdays. And one of the biggest challenges of being a country DJ is knowing all of the country dance steps, particularly the country dance steps that are danced at these dance halls here in Houston or in Spring, in my case. I also DJ at a place called Bandits in Midtown on Thursday night. So Wednesday, Fridays, and Saturdays, I'm at Rowdy's in Spring, and then Thursdays, I'm at Bandits in Midtown. And so there's many different dance steps. So you got two-step, you got polka, you've got waltz, and then you've got West Coast swing and East Coast swing, which is also called a jitterbug. Then, of course, you got line dances, and then You know, they call it booty dancing, where that's when you get your more booty shaking music. That's going to be, you know, pop, lock, and drop it, but not that song. Cause I found that people actually don't like dancing to that song. That's for another story. Point is, those are kind of the categories, but then you also have nightclub two step, right? Which is like an extra slow song or a ballad, which is just the slow song where you can do the real slow dance to it. And something I learned along the way is there's a formula to dancing in the country halls or dance halls or for the DJs to follow. And it usually goes ballad, waltz, two-step, 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 polka, 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 West Coast, East Coast, and then you start over. And so it's like an 8 or 9 song flow, and you just kind of play it. And so the catch is that you have to increase the rhythm of the song with the, you know, with the energy and the mood of the music, and then you go up and down throughout the night. So you kind of mix up the textures of the sounds, and that's become one of my, you know, favorite parts of the job, is kind of blending from step to step and blending the rhythms, you know, from song to song as the night goes on to build the energy. Well, one of those challenges is that I'm kind of new to the dance steps, and the dance community in our city is very, very vivacious, and they're very knowledgeable, and they compete in lots of contests. And you may not even realize this dance community exists, but if you ever go to a honky tonk early from between 7 and 9, most of the honky tonks will have a group of dancers there that belong to a community, a dance community, and they go from bar to bar, sometimes the same bars, and they go and they dance, and you know, and they dance with everybody, and everybody in the group is welcome, and you know, they, you know, swap partners throughout the evening. They have favorite dance partners, but they're also very particular at times, and that for me has been one of the biggest challenges I have found. I love the job, but sometimes people and their way of communicating their dislike for certain songs or The way I play songs, sometimes it can be very harsh, and it's been kind of tough sometimes to on how to react, but I just try my best. It's one of the reasons that led to me stopping to drink, because I knew I was having these encounters with people that I didn't know, and they didn't really know me, but they were very aggressive about their word choice and the things they were asking or saying at times. So I knew I needed to be as sober as possible to confront them with my right mind, if you will. And stopping drinking, by the way, has been one of the best things I ever did. But that's for another podcast. Maybe I'll do a podcast about my journey of sobriety over the last 6 months now, because it was in October that I quit drinking. So it's been quite some time, and I actually feel incredible because of it. So thank you for listening to this episode of Country Not Country. We got up next the interview with Kelsey Hart, Curb recording artist. This was recorded in front of a live studio audience in our Odyssey Live Lounge here at our Bull Studios. He performs three songs towards the end. A little synopsis: he's from Kentucky. We talk about his upbringing. We talk about his connection to music, how he got signed to his first publishing deal, what that did for his life, and how much success he's now seen with his music throughout the world, particularly even here in Houston. So without further ado, here is an interview from earlier today with Kelsey Hart. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Odyssey Live Lounge. My name is Nick Russo from 100.3 The Bull. We have a live studio audience. Guys, make some noise. And we are pleased to welcome to Houston Kelsey Hart. Kelsey, yeah. Welcome.
Man, happy to be here. It's first time in Houston.
Well, you got the best view ever for a first time. That's the Astrodome and NRG Stadium behind us right over there. So the Astrodome's on the left, NRG on the right. Texans and eighth wonder of the world in the Astrodome. So
okay. A little bit warmer than Nashville, too.
Yeah, you picked the good weather days, because we had a freeze 2 weeks ago and flooding last week, and so we chose sunshine this week.
Yeah, well, I'm glad y'all chose it.
So I did a little research. Greenville, Kentucky is about twice the size of my hometown, so that means it's still pretty small.
Still pretty small.
So tell me about your upbringing. I saw a gospel quartet was there, some of your early days singing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I grew up singing in church and talent shows and that kind of thing. And, then all through high school, it was mainly sports focused. So kind of got away from, the singing thing and focused on sports. And right out of high school, went to barber school and done that for about 7 or 8 years in my hometown. And that's about the time that I picked up a guitar when I started barbering. And I didn't know that, when I got out of school, I thought I'd be, a little busier, but had a lot of time on my hands being a new barber.
You gotta build a clientele.
Yeah. And so that's when I picked up a guitar, a lot of times just bored in a shop. And that's kind of where it started. Yeah.
So at that point, had you already learned how to play guitar? Was that something in your life, or was that the first time you started?
No, it was. So I always sang growing up, but as far as incorporating the guitar, that was like, that was something that I was 22, I guess, when I picked it up in the barbershop.
Now, you have this band and of friends, and that's when you really started getting into live performance and live music, and really, for lack of better terms, wet your whistle on performance.
Oh, yeah.
Are you still with the guys from the band, or have you now?
So that was in my hometown. That was the original garage band that we had, and we'd done that for, I guess, 2 or 3 years or something. And then everybody, kind of started splitting up and going their own ways, and that was about the time that I'd got a call from Laurel Kittleson that was working at Big Machine at the time. She had seen a video online on Instagram back when you could just post like the 15-second clips, And she messaged me on there and she said, "Hey, I think you got a shot at this. I don't know what you got going on," but I met with her a couple weeks after that in Nashville, and that was in like 2015. And so around that time, that's when I started splitting the time between cutting hair and going down and writing songs. So I was back and forth from Kentucky to Nashville.
So had you signed your publishing deal at that time?
Oh, no. So, no, when that started, that was in 2016, and I signed my publishing deal in 2020.
And so the thing about publishing deals, that means it opens doors for you into to new songwriting rooms. Tell me what that experience was like, going from, kind of writing on your own and performing on your own to being with some of the acclaimed songwriters.
Yeah, well, I definitely did not claim to be a songwriter at all. It was something, when Laurel brought me to town, she was just like, "I'm going to, put you in the room with these people that actually, that know what they're doing." And it was, a slow learning process of just being in a room with people that are a lot better than me, because I didn't have a lot of experience writing songs, and didn't know what a publishing deal was. I remember him talking about it in one of my first sessions, and I was like, y'all get paid to do this? Like, just show up and, you know, and write songs here? And they're like, yeah, we're, you know, we got salary, and then if we get cuts, we get more money. And I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah, so it really turned you into a place where music was really the focus. And yeah. Now look at you, man, over 500,000 monthly listeners online. Yeah. And it's just really growing. You got a radio tour now where you're coming around to meet all the radio stations around the country. And so that brings you here. One of the things I've noticed is you're a sharpshooter with the love songs.
Yeah.
So what do you think is the driving force behind that magic?
Man, I don't know. I mean, it's not, which, you know, it's kind of funny because I feel like the first several years in town, it was like, it seemed like we always kind of, me and my co-writers kind of gravitated towards the breakup stuff. Like, I just kind of naturally, like, went that way. And my wife, you know, she'd just be like, you know, what is going on? Like, she's like, we're not breaking up. Like, what? Why do you keep writing these breakup songs? And so that was just kind of a running joke for a little while. And then, yeah, the, you know, Life With You happened, you know, it was our first dance song. We got married in August of 22, and we, you know, she was talking about wanting, you know, figuring out what our first dance song was going to be, and I'd wrote that song like a year before or whatever, and she brought it up, you know. She was just like, hey, I think that would be cool. So that's how the song came back around.
So. Man, it's so special. And you're going to play that for us in just a little bit. You got a couple other songs. This first one that I saw, it's called Highway to Heaven. Mm-hmm. And I can't help but go back to the beginning of the conversation where we talked about, you know, singing in church choir kind of started you off on singing. And it kind of correlates back to this song. Is that fair?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's... you know, this Highway to Heaven's pretty much about, you know, us guys sometime ended up in a doghouse with our ladies, you know. And I remember the song kind of came from, you know, my wife and I, we were dating at the time, and she was just like, we'd always kind of, you know, laugh about, you know, wonder when our first fight's going to be about. Because we did long distance, and our, you know, the time we'd spend together was, you know, it was just all good stuff, you know. And I remember after we had our first, you know, a little argument or whatever, had her co-write the next day. And, you know, we wrote this song, Highway to Heaven. It's pretty much just about, you know, how, you know, us guys can, you know, be kind of ignorant sometimes and what our girls put up with.
Well, we'd love to hear it.
Yeah. Yeah. Go ahead and play it. I'm sure y'all have never been in the doghouse before with it. I burn it down with them boys, yeah, a little too much. Spent a whole lot of money on beers and trucks. Yeah, I wet a line in the summertime and sometimes end up in a doghouse. Yeah, I'm a ball cap, back road, dust cloud rolling. Back 40 and raise them up, bonfire glowing. But somehow your angel wings, they find a way to put up with me. Yeah, it's hard to believe. Yeah, I'm hell on wheels, you're a saint, I'm a sinner. I'm falling all apart, you're the putting me back together. Solid as a rock, and I'm a rolling stone. I've been running wide open since the day I was born. I'm a hurricane coming, you're the eye of the storm. But you still love me and I just don't get it. I'm hell on wheels and you're the highway to heaven. You're a Sunday drive through Middle Tennessee. Pretty as them dogwoods blooming in the spring. You're steady as them sunsets you love out west. I got a heart that'll put you to the test. Yeah, I'm hell on wheels, you're a saint, I'm a sinner. I'm falling all apart, you're the putting me back together. Solid as a rock, and I'm a rolling stone. I've been running wide open since the day I was born. I'm a hurricane coming, you're the eye of the storm. But you still love me and I just don't get it. I'm hell on wheels and you're the highway to heaven. Yeah, baby. Well, you know, somehow your angel wings, they find a way to put up with me. I'm hell on wheels, you're sane, I'm a sinner, I'm falling all apart, you're putting me back together, solid as a rock, and I'm a rolling stone. Whoa, been running wide open since the day I was born. I'm a hurricane coming, you're the eye of the storm, but you still love me and I just don't get it. I'm hell on wheels and you're the highway to heaven, the highway to heaven, you're the highway to heaven. Thank you.
Man, so good, so good. You know, you never really know an artist until you hear them sing. And man, yeah. You make that seem so effortless.
Oh,
those
thank
notes,
you, dude.
That's so awesome, bro. That's an incredible song. Great voice.
Thank you.
And you know, this is probably one of my favorite jobs is getting to see the new artists as they're mm-hmm. growing. And I'm so excited about your story. Bailey is actually, she told me this song 4x4. I would love it. And she sent it to me. Hey, listen to the song. I think you're gonna love it. And I also want to say I know that Blake Shelton was someone that you've looked up to, and you mm-hmm. certainly have that sort of natural tone in your voice that mm-hmm. kind of gives those Blake Shelton vibes. So, but yeah, the 4x4 is a double entendre. I'm a big fan of that. Whenever there's, you know, double meaning to it. Tell me about 4x4, the song, and let us hear it.
Yeah. So my buddy, Mason Thornley, that I wrote the song with, he came to me with the idea, breakup song. And, he was just like, man, we've got a ton of breakup stuff that, you know, he's like, I think I got a different approach. He's like, you know, I feel like that, you know, a lot of the breakup songs for the guys, you know, the guys are getting dumped too. They're like, you know, Taylor Swift's got the girls covered, you know, but he's like, these guys are getting dumped and they need a little bit of a tougher breakup song, you know, something that's more relatable for the guys. So that's kind of where 4x4 came from. He brought that up and he said, and I asked him, I was like, well, what's the angle on this? Like, how are we going to get to the, you know, how are we going to get to the hook? And he's just like, man, well, he said, you know, if they made a cold beer, if they made a whiskey, if they made a 4x4, they'd pull me out of loving you. And I was like, that's pretty country. I was like, yeah, that's pretty country, son. Yeah, so, yeah, this is what we come up with here. Let me try to get tuned up real quick. She said you'd heard that one?
Yeah.
4x4?
Yeah,
cool.
I love it, man. And big shout out to Bailey for sure.
You know, because we were talking about, you know, the current radio single and how someone had walked up to me at the bar, actually, and had said, hey, you play this Kelsey Hart, you know, Life With You? And I was like, yeah, I don't know.
No kidding.
I was like, let me download it and listen to it and see. And you never know, man. And usually people request five-minute love
this
songs.
This was Bailey?
No, this was – I was telling Bailey this story. And she's
this
like,
is a stranger.
Yeah,
oh,
and a stranger came up to me, yeah, and asked for that song. Yeah, and so I downloaded it, and I listened to it. And at the time, I couldn't get to it. It's just a love song, so it was at a time where we couldn't slow it all the way down just yet, right? And so I was telling her that story, and she's like, well, you should check out 4x4. And I was like, all right. She's like, I think you'll love it too. I was like, all right, well, let me check it out. So
Man. I'm just still hung up on somebody asking you that at the bar.
Yeah, man. It hit notes.
Heck yeah.
We ain't seeing much light in the tunnel. We've been busy trying to find a way out. I quit waiting on your comeback. Stop wanting what you're doing right now. I'm still kicking up dust down a dirt road, cranking up every one of our songs. Sure wish this Chevy had a low gear that could get you gone. I wish you made a 4x4 to pull me out of this loving you, a cold beer to get me over goodbye, a shot of bourbon that does what I need it to get me through this missing you tonight. 'Cause I'm hung up, stuck in a rut, and broke down, ain't nothing I can do. Well, high-centered wheel spinning, yeah, I wish they made a 4x4 to pull me out of this loving you. Well, if they did, I'd be down at the dealership, walking in, saying, where do I sign? 'Cause this old boy would give them every last dime just to get over you tonight. I wish he made a 4x4 to pull me out of this loving you, a cold beer to get me over goodbye, a shot of bourbon that does what I need it to get me through this missing you tonight. Cause I'm hung up, stuck in a rut, and broke down, ain't nothing I can do. Well, high-centered wheel spinning, yeah, I wish they made a 4x4 to pull me out of this loving you. To pull me out of this loving you. I wish they made a 4x4, a 4x4, a 4x4 to pull me out of this. A 4x4, a 4x4 to get me back rolling again. Wish they made a 4x4 to pull me out of this loving you. A cold beer to get me over goodbye. A shot of bourbon that does what I need it to get me through this missing you tonight. Cause I'm hung up, stuck in a rut, and broke down, ain't nothing I can do. Well, high-centered wheel spinning, yeah, and wish they made a 4x4 to pull me out of this loving you.
So good.
Thank you.
Man, your voice is so pure, dude. It's so awesome to get to experience you live and up close like this.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's such a treasure. So, I believe it was New Year's Eve. I think it was New Year's Eve. And the guy came up and he's like, hey, man, Kelsey Hart, live with you. And I was like, all right, let me, like, it was literally the first time I've been confronted with the song, you know? And so I found it, and, you know, and the initial judgment is always how many bars on iTunes does it show before I buy it? Like,
right.
Is this one or two bars, or is this maxed out? And it was maxed out. I was like, well, shoot, apparently I'm late to the party. So, I downloaded it and bought it. And because that's the thing a lot of people don't know about DJing, you have to actually buy the music. You can't just stream it through the device. Anyways, so I listened to it. And at the time, I couldn't slow it down. Like, I couldn't go there yet. And I felt terrible about it. Then I come into work on Tuesday and I get my call. And she's like, oh, yeah, I want to tell you about this artist, Kelsey Hart. And I was like, wow, if that wasn't, 72 hours later. So, yeah, man, your music has certainly resonated with people that in the country lifestyle that are really into it. What do you think, what do you attribute to that? Like, what is it that you think is finding these people that's giving you all this love so early?
Man, I think with Life With You, it's a song that, I mean, obviously, it's super special to me. It was our first dance song, and I'm glad that it is the song that's doing it. But I really feel like, especially early on, this song's success, from TikTok, it's the hook and the title is, it's so easy, just to tell your person, like, that's where the idea came from. Like, I just, my wife and I have said that, and, I've heard other people say it too, like, just love doing life with you, and I think that's why, the song built up so well on those social platforms, because it is so, it's a straightforward love song that's easy for somebody to share and do like a create video and make their own deal with it, and so I think that's probably a lot of it.
And that's really what music's all about. At the root of it all, you want your music to be heard, but you want it to connect to people. And also, when we listen to it, it tells us we're not alone in how we're feeling.
Right.
And so getting to share that's super special. So, you're kind of an intermediary now between people and their love. And I'm sure it's been first songs at weddings already.
Yeah, it's – so before the song ever came out, we was sending it out early for first dance. For people to use on their first dance. And I think we sent it to, it was something like 800 people before the song came out for their first dance. And it was just like, I just couldn't even like wrap my head around it, like that was going on. But it was like, it was really cool that was like, it was such a, it's a song that people are using, for their first dance. And and it's like a song that I feel like, is just a part of one of the biggest, days of their life that they'll always, feel special about and go back to and listen to. And, so it's, it's just been pretty wild.
Well, it's a pleasure to get to watch your story from the beginning and watch you grow. You got a great team around you at Curb. So we're super stoked about it. And I can't wait to hear you, sing Life With You.
Yeah. Life With You.
If you're on a port swing, baby, I'm on it. If you want a night out, baby, I'm all in. If you want a coin flip road trip anywhere you want to go, baby, just call it. If you're on a dance floor moving them out there, want to find some laid back and let down your brown hair, will you call the shots if I'm ready or not? I don't care. Baby, I love doing life with you. You're everything I want to wake up to. Give you all of my heart, the moon and the stars, till my time here on earth is through. 'Cause I just love, baby, I love doing life with you. Well, I ain't gonna be there just for the sunshine. I'll hold your hand while we stand in the rain. I'll be your forever and not just your sometimes. I'll be your calm in a hurricane. 'Cause baby, I love doing life with you. You're everything I wanna wake up to. Give you all of my heart, the moon and the stars, till my time here on earth is through. 'Cause I just love, baby, I love doing life with you. Thought I was good on my own, taking life on alone, but that was before my heart had a home. Baby, I love doing life with you. You're everything I wanna wake up to. Give you all of my heart, the moon and the stars, till my time here on earth is through. 'Cause I just love, baby, I love doing life with you. Doing life with you.
Thank y'all for listening. Appreciate it.
Yes, sir. I was slow dancing in my head there. I was like, I was in the honky tonk last song of the night. And I was like, man, need to find one. All right.
Nothing like going from 4x4 to life with you, huh? We're just giving them a variety.
Hey, that's right. Yeah. I love it. Kelsey Hart, you're amazing. Thank you for coming to spend time with us today. Yeah. Best of luck to you and success to you. I think you're on a great path, and I can't wait to see what's coming down the road, man.
Yeah, well, thank y'all for having me.
Yes, sir.
Appreciate it. Heck yeah.